Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is for Sue. It's her favorite band. Did I just see that Mark Cox went up to Chicago to see them?
Probably.
Yeah, I think I saw him on the Facebook talking about that. I really want to see them because they have this this chick that's drumming with them now, filling in for Neil Peart, and she's just incredible. And it's
is she talented? How gifted is she?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
she
being
really
serious.
Is?
She incredible. I mean, when the tour started, the videos started going viral of her, and it's a shame on me for not knowing her name. I can look it up here, but I mean, she's amazing, and
it
really, it's blowing people away on the road. But anyway, I bring it up because Rush is being considered, or at least
Annika Niles?
Yeah, that's Annika Niles. Yeah. Unreal. Just pull up a video of her playing drums.
Wow.
You'll be blown away. But they are one of the bands that might do a residency at Sphere, is a rumor. But there's always rumors, but I wanted to mention it because I know Sue is such a big fan of Rush.
Yes, well,
Would you go?
I would absolutely go. I would. It's not like they're my favorite band ever. I saw them in the 80s a couple of times. I got to meet Geddy Lee. I watched Neil Peart. This is kind of incredible. I had a all-access backstage pass, so I was able to go on the side of the stage and watch them perform, which was rather incredible. Now, about maybe 12 years ago, I went to the amphitheater with some guys, and I think there were 18,000 men and maybe 300 women at that show. But I think Anakin, what I've seen from her drumming, and I think Rush, I don't know, I just think that would be a cool show to see at Sphere. So I would consider that one. I would.
Why do you think that'd be great at Sphere? What are they? I mean, the last one you saw, you didn't like the sound.
No, I didn't like the sound. What do you mean?
You weren't thrilled by that. I'm sorry. The sound was fine, but you didn't like seeing live music at the Sphere as much.
Oh, no, you're missing. So wait a second here, just to be clear. So I saw the first show there, the U2 show.
Yes. All right?
That was the very first show at the Sphere outside of the Darren Aronofsky movie, which I also saw. Everybody, this is just my opinion. If you went to see U2, and I know there's a lot of U2 fans out there, and you got to go to the Sphere, you think it was the best thing ever because you're the first people that went to the
Sphere. Right.
The bottom line is, overall, wasn't a great rock show. Visually, wow, this is what the Sphere can do. That's pretty impressive. I came out of that show saying, bands are going to figure this out. And they have. The Eagles have figured it out. Dead & Company have figured it out. No Doubt figured it out. As a rock show, U2 focused more on the visuals, which is fine. There wasn't a good balance for me. That's just my opinion.
That's fair.
Wasn't, and my friends in Vegas agree with me on this, and I've talk to other people, but there's other people who say, oh no, it's the best show ever. If you go see, if for those of you who have only seen U2, go see someone else, because you'll see a dramatic difference from the start of that to the finish. Now, what's interesting about Sphere is, and this is why I would make a terrible businessman, I look at the economics of Vegas a lot because I know Vegas well and I'm curious about it, and I have my friend who lives out there. So, like, two of the newest casinos, Resorts World, where Katy Perry had a residency, and we saw that, and Fontainebleau, which is opened up way on the other side of the strip, they're struggling. They're beautiful. They spent, you know, gazillions of dollars on these casinos, and they're really struggling right now. So I had it, and Rick and I would talk about this at the beginning of the Sphere. You look at the number of, you know, the debt out there, what they spent on this. How are they going to make their money back? Originally, what they talked about was movies and movie revenue. And a lot of us scratched our head at the time, but they have just killed it with this Wizard of Oz thing.
Oh,
and
good.
My friend, Rick's been to Sphere many times to see acts, but he had never gone to see the Wizard of Oz. And his partner had some family in town from Hawaii, so they went last weekend, and he said there were probably 10,000 people there just for Wizard of Oz.
Are you kidding? Think about
the money. They are making money and bank on that. Now, the rock shows are a little different. There's a lot of overhead, but with that, it's the same thing over and over. So financially, the projections for Sphere and the survival are very positive, which, by the way, is why they're talking about building a couple others. One, I think, in Dubai or in the Middle East, and then a mini Sphere in Nashville, if you will.
So, are the movies more affordable than the shows?
No, not really. I mean, you have a different. There's ticket tiers. I think for The Wizard of Oz, maybe you can get some that are about $75 a piece if you're up. I'm not sure for that. That's actually a really good question. Because I'm an elitist, I never look at the lower ticket prices. Because, like, for the Darren Aronofsky movie, which is just preachy and woke and it's, you know, global warming and stuff, we got the VIP, you know, so you get a tour and you get, like, a little poster and then you get in the seats that Darren Aronofsky wants you in, like in the middle of the sphere, which made me even more disoriented than the rest of the sphere. So it's not, you know, if you're way up in that thing, it can get a little like Arrowhead Stadium if you're way at the top of that, for people who might know that. On a musical front, a couple of things here I wanted to mention. I can do this, even though he picked a weird song. I told him to put a Mavericks song in. I wasn't sure what he was going to do, but I told Sue this. We are big fans of the Mavericks, and Raul Malo, who was the undeniable force behind the Mavericks, passed away last year from cancer after a battle with cancer. And, you know, Sue, you followed that band for a long time. I've always said about the Mavericks, I could take anyone to go see their show. They wouldn't have to know any of their music, and they would come out of it. They would be blown away.
Where's the real bell? Yes.
So, but Raul died, and I'm like, man, they're coming to the pageant this Thursday. Is that something I want to see? Well, I decided to go see the show because it's a tribute to Raul. They have people that are singing the songs, and I'm actually going to go because I feel like I need to, as a tribute to Raul, because
I get that
he was great. Now, this is a bit of a musical week for me too, because I'm going to see these guys. I've never been. This is shameful, and I know people have told me how beautiful it is, but I've never been to the Wildy Theater in Edwardsville. I've promoted a fair amount shows that were at the Wildy, for sure. We even had Graham Parker on not too long ago. He was there, and I was out of town that weekend, but I got some guys that I know. Well, one of the band members here, this is the Young Dubliners. They're a Celtic rock band, very successful. They've come to St. Louis quite a few times, but the last two trips at the Wildy, so they're in Edwardsville on Friday night, and they're just a killer Celtic rock band, and my friend Charles Waltz plays fiddle in this band. And for rock fans, for those, and I see you and Fred, I think you'll know this, for people who were, you know, here in the early 80s in particular, there was a band from Kansas City in Shooting Star. This is a huge song, huge KC classic. This was probably their only big national song because they were a band that had more of a following here in the Midwest. I think that was a band we saw at Six Flags, like, back in the day. Here's another song. So Charles was the violin player. You know, I always like it when there's unique aspects, horns or strings in rock bands. And he was the violin player in that, and then went to L.A., was kind of a journeyman, did a lot of painting and stuff like that. But he's went with the Young Dubs for 2.5+ decades now. The band's been around for 30 years, and they have a big, successful following. So I just wanted to mention that for those of you who are music fans, the Young Dubliners at the Wildy on Friday. The Mavericks, a tribute to Raul Malo on Thursday, which will be good. Okay, I got one story here. Let me just play this audio because I love this, and I pulled it earlier. I'm confused because I did put this on X, and what it says is Jay Moore tells this amazing story about Don Rickles and Joe Pesci. Well, it's not Jay Moore. You know who Jay Moore is, actor, comedian? It's actually, I think it's Kevin Pollak, okay? So I'm confused by the person who posted this, but this is Kevin Pollak telling an interesting Don Rickles and Joe Pesci story. Ooh. So here it is.
Wedding scene. There's 200 extras. Camera's rolling. Rickles is standing next to De Niro. De Niro's speaking, acting. Scorsese's watching. And Rickles just stops and looks up at him and says, "That's the way you're going to do it, huh? Like that? No, no, you got the awards. I'm sure you know what you're doing. Go ahead."
In the middle of the take.
In the middle of the take. Everyone freezes. You can hear the sphincters tighten. De Niro takes a nanosecond before the shoulder's shaking and he's laughing uncontrollably. And it doesn't stop. Just at any chance he gets, he goes after him. Pesci, on the other hand, did not appreciate it. When Rickles pointed out that Joe was so short, he was going to ride him around the set like a Shetland.
This is Casino. Okay, it's not Goodfellas. This is Casino. So he tells him he's going to run around the set like a Shetland pony. Okay, well, Joe did not take kindly to that.
Oh, I get it. I'm a midget and you're a genius. Go f*** yourself. This f***ing guy.
So I'm walking out to his trailer after
that f***ing Jew f***ing sucker f*** him.
I said, Joe, he was just, yeah, you another one. Go f*** yourself. Not kidding. No sense of humor about it. just wanted to kill Don Rickles.
I love that story. Wow. And you know, I'm my own Don Rickles story because this is true. In Milwaukee, I was at a table right in front of the stage at the Pottawatomie Casino, and I just randomly, I was a personality TV and radio, so people in the audience knew who I was. They thought it was a gimmick. It wasn't. He pulled me up for what he called the Japanese soldier bit, which was extremely racist, I'm sure. But he literally, I go on stage and he whispers in my ear, "You better be good, kid." And the people couldn't hear it. He just in my ear, "You better be good, kid." Well, I was. I nailed it with
good,
Don Rickles.
Good.
It was good. That was a fine, fine moment on stage with Mr. Rickles.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, remind me, I still got to do this story because there's a great story about a guy who buys a house sight unseen and finds something very mysterious. So we'll get to that maybe a little bit this hour. Let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
A female online is trying to convince me that I should try harder on Rush. I just can't do it.
You and Becky, there's no way. Like, my wife, and we have a lot of musical commonality.
Yes, yes.
There's very few bands that we will not agree on, but that's one of them.
I'm with you, Sue.
Are you? Thank you. Thank you.
And Becky doesn't like, this is where she's younger.
Steely
but she's
Dan.
Not yeah, she hates Steely Dan. But she doesn't like a lot of the yacht rock either. But she's
totally
with you. Like, if we were to ask her randomly the two bands that I like that she hates, it would absolutely be Rush and Steely Dan.
Yeah, okay.
Right out of her mouth right away.
She's right. And okay. I was going to do, all right, here's what it is. It's National Junk Food Day. Fred, what's your favorite?
I'm in.
Oh, gosh. Any sort of candy?
Yeah, you're kind of a candy person.
Chocolate.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
that. I like
that.
It all. I've been into Twizzlers kind of mode. Chips are good. I go with the Wavy Lays, personally.
Oh, Wavy Lays. Wavy That's Lays. A good call. Yeah. What about a Pringles? I like those aren't even actual chips. They're just smushed together pieces of freeze-dried whatever,
you know,
and I love them.
I think I ate so many Pringles once it made my lips burn. I mean, I had like a burn.
Did you go regular, or were you out in the barbecue world, which you never should do?
Yeah, no, I was regular.
Okay. Phew. It's also National Be Someone Day, huh? Will you try to be some? Why are these days, Fred? And National Lamington Day. And I thought, what? So I looked it up. Well, let me tell you something. It is a cake. A Lamington is from Australia, and it consists of a sponge cake. And they take it and dip it in chocolate. So I thought Fred would be all over that, both of you. They dip it in chocolate, and then this is Lord Lamington, governor of Queensland, Australia. Then he sprinkled the cake with fine pieces of coconut. Are you coconut?
No, I'm no.
Yeah,
I can do.
I was gonna say one of you can do it.
Yeah,
that sounds delicious. Anyway, it's Lamington Day. All right, and then I thought, okay, well, let's go with food. Instacart has just released some ice cream sales data, and you know, you go through all of the states' number one flavor, blah blah blah. That takes way too long. So the most ordered ice cream everywhere in the country is Mark Reardon.
You mean the flavor?
Yep.
Chocolate.
Nope.
What?
Fred.
Well, there's only one other choice, really.
Vanilla?
Yep.
That's more popular?
It is so boring. And the only thing I could think was, maybe people are taking that home so they can put stuff on
it. Yeah, because you mix a lot of stuff in, you know, I like, that's what I like. I like putting the M&Ms in the vanilla or the Oreo cookies or something.
Well, that has to be it. You could put some Lamington in there because that'd be delicious.
I know, I'd do that.
Vanilla, top 10 most ordered flavors on Instacart in the past year. Vanilla, 20.9% of all ice cream orders. Chocolate is number 2.
What about mint chip?
Oh, I love mint chip. Yeah. That's my favorite. That's number 7.
Oh.
3, cookie dough.
Okay.
Number 4, cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Number 5, fudge brownie.
I'll throw a red flag on that one.
Okay, you guys. Number 6 is peanut butter. Ice cream? Do I mean, I'm sure that exists, but to be number six?
I like it from Fritz's, like they have a peanut butter,
you know. Yeah, well, like a concrete.
Right,
that sounds good, but I didn't know it was...
No, just regular peanut butter ice cream, no.
Mint chip at 7, coffee at 8, strawberry, which I think is way too far down. I like strawberry.
I love strawberry.
Me too. It's at 9, and cherry.
No. I like raspberry better than cherry.
Agreed. All right. Vice President J.D. Vance and his wife... Usha, on Sunday, announced the birth of their fourth child. I realized I didn't talk about this yesterday.
Well, because we played some of the audio last week. He was on Rogan's podcast. You know, he did that.
Yes.
And he even mentioned at the time when he was doing the podcast, because I think it was like 3 hours, he goes, I may have to leave at any moment.
I know. Isn't that cool?
She was due, yeah.
This is their fourth child and the firstborn to a sitting vice president in more than 150 years.
Isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
I know. That's awesome.
I heard that earlier. I'm like, is that even real? But apparently it
is. Yes. He was born Sunday. His name is Alec Neil, N-E-E, Alec Neil Vance. And he has older siblings, Ewan, Vivek, and Mirabelle. I love the name Mirabelle. I think that's so cute. She, by the way, is 4 years old. So that was such a big deal. Vance announced the birth on social media. He had a statement signed by him and his wife. Quote, we are excited to announce that our baby boy, Alec Neil Vance, was born this morning. Usha and the baby are happy and healthy. Our kids are overjoyed. They thank the doctors and the staff at Walter Reed Medical Center. Can you imagine, I don't know, being White House personnel. He said there was like a whole White House medical team and they get him to the hospital. I mean, it was a whole thing.
I wonder where does it say where the name came from? There has to be an origin for that, right?
I would think so.
But is it like A-L-E-C?
Yeah, okay. A-L-E-C-N-E-E-L. I kind of like that name. Alec Neil Vance. Okay, for Mark, Matt Damon says, this is from the Odyssey, of course. He said that he had a female stunt double on a scene or two in the Odyssey who had, quote, the greatest arms I've ever seen.
Wow.
So when you see this thing, see if you can tell. From People magazine, I'll just read you the quote. The actor-producer recalled meeting his female double on set and thanking her, quote, for all the work she put in. This is a scene where you can see these giant... This is him speaking, Matt Damon. You can see these giants looming over me. Mm-hmm. It is, in fact, the stunt performer in that frame.
Okay.
When are you going?
A week from Saturday. That was the earliest I could get the tickets for the IMAX. Yeah. August 1st in the afternoon, right?
All right, that's fair. All right, Robert Irwin, who is the son, of course, of Steve Irwin, says AI is ruining something else, and it's wildlife photography. He says he thinks that it takes away from the artistry of photography. It dilutes what's impressive and makes it difficult for people to tell what is real and unreal. So if you see something and you're like, wow, I didn't know the bird. Well, it's fake. And then when the photographer comes up with something's real, you think, oh, well, that's fake.
That could be said for anything now.
Yes, but he's particularly worried about that. Because these photographers that do some of this stuff in the Amazon or whatever, and they send you for the right shot of the one tsetse fly or whatever, and that one hummingbird that's it, it's just AI. You could do it, and they spend a bunch of money to try to get there and do it.
Well, this is a little off the beaten track from this, but I've mentioned this before. If you go on Instagram or certain TikTok, I'm not on TikTok, but you'll see a lot of these wildlife videos. And, you know, sometimes it's the giraffe picking up the baby and running away from it.
Okay,
which
is just
utterly ridiculous that it happened. But there's so many of those out there. And, you know, the one thing that just went viral, I even saw it again this afternoon on Fox, is that weird-looking raccoon from down in Florida, I think, that has, like, the hunchback.
Jimothy?
Right,
Jimothy,
but that's real. I mean, you could, like,
you're
when
right.
I first saw
you're
that,
right.
I'm like, okay, is this real or is it not real?
I know. Well, it's a thing. And he says he worries about the future just because where will that go? All right, I just have a real question. Do I have to sign in to Southwest even though we don't? Do you check in still? Fred said.
I did. Just
I did,
safe.
But I don't know if you have to. I did check in.
Okay. Because what's the point?
I don't know. Maybe
so if you
to
don't
confirm
have to,
that you're on the fly, I have no idea.
All right, fine.
It was a better safe than sorry thing because I've only done it once now. That was, you know, when I went to Vegas.
And did you do the thing where they just put you on the plane and you wing it?
No. I picked a seat because I had to
have. Fred, did you wing it?
I winged. I did
now we're talking.
The cheapest thing you
could do. That's what I'm doing.
I just, you know, they told me where to sit.
Okay. No, I took an aisle seat. I have to have an aisle seat.
Of course you do.
I'm doing this for the other people that sit next to me, so I don't have to climb over them. Mm.
Deadline looked at 4 years of Netflix viewing data and put together a list of the most watched shows. Number one is Squid Game. I've not even tried. Mark.
No, it's ridiculous. It's,
what? Is it? Do they kill
dumb.
People?
Yes.
I hate it already.
I watched two episodes. It's utterly ridiculous. Don't waste your time.
Okay. That doesn't sound like a Fred show.
No.
Number two, Adolescence. What is this?
That was terrible, too.
What was that?
Adolescence was...
Just what it says?
No. It's a complicated story. I think it even based on a true story from something that happened in England. But it was another one of those. The critics seemed to love it. I thought it was a waste of time.
All right, well, 171.6 million viewers. So that came in at number two. Number three, Squid Game, season three. I hate it.
They even have a season three of that?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
155.8 million viewers. Okay, number four, Bridgerton season three.
That's odd. That's like just sort of a rando in there,
it
right?
It totally is. And that is 154.2 million. And number five was Stranger Things season five, but it only had 149.1 million. People love the Squid Game. Two Squid Games in front of the last Stranger Things.
Yeah, but you also have to think of this. These are international numbers, aren't they?
Well, that's a good point.
Because I think domestically you'd find different numbers. Squid Games is one of those things where people are getting shot. I don't even know if you have a language thing in there that's going to matter.
Well, that's true, too. By the way, number six was Fool Me Once, seven, Ms. Rachel, eight, Wednesday, nine, Stranger Things, but it was season one. And it still made it. And Peppa Pig, season six, at 127.4.
Oh, my God. I loved Peppa Pig when Alexa was younger, but I don't think it was on Netflix then.
Well, I know. It's newer. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Castaway was filmed over 2 years because it took Tom Hanks about a year to lose the weight, grow his hair out for the island scenes. And during that year, Zemeckis shot What Lies Beneath.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a lot to still get to this afternoon. Steve Ellman, the current incumbent St. Charles County executive who is running for re-election after he said he wasn't going to. We've had the other candidates, the main candidates, Jason Law, Bill Eichelman. Steve's going to join us at 5:04. It's Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal in about an hour. So you're traveling and you were asking about Southwest and whether you need to check in. But you also had a different question because I thought, or a topic. I thought this was interesting. You have to take an Uber tomorrow, right?
I do. Mike left this morning, and I thought, well, I don't have a ride to the airport, so we were talking about whether I should Uber or take the car, and he said, go ahead and Uber. You don't want to park and have somebody open doors on it the whole weekend. And I thought, okay. So I go onto the Uber app, and I thought, you know, I'll set this thing up in advance, and I did Uber and Lyft just to see who had the best deal, and it happened to be Uber. So I did that, and one of the options, you know, they give you that whole page. They're like, do you want to take this car that's the cheapest? Do you want this? The second option was woman driver.
Really?
Female driver.
See, I've never seen that come up.
I hadn't either. So I thought, okay, well, it's the same price. I might as well just try it. So I did. And then they say, okay, it's a female driver. Do you want that on your return trip? Should we just put you down as a female driver person? There are fewer female drivers. So if you don't want that,
oh yeah,
can we automatically give you a regular one? I said, sure. So we'll see how it goes. But I didn't know that was a thing.
So yeah. I used Uber when I was in Vegas, which was only, you know, a month and a half ago, and I don't remember seeing that option. Is it just an option that comes up for women? That would be weird, too.
Oh, that's a good question.
Fred, have you seen it come up?
I haven't seen it come up, but I know I saw a news story the other day that said it's really popular.
Oh.
Lots of women are choosing to use female-only drivers.
Instead of creepy dudes.
Yeah. Although right. I got the picture and I thought, well, we could have tried harder on that one.
Wait, you already know who like the driver is?
Yeah, they send you a picture, and I like a smile. I guess all crazy killer people could smile regardless of gender. But I thought, come on, give me something. Look friendly.
Now, are you one to start up a conversation with the Uber driver or not?
Not really. I mean, I will on the way. I guess sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes
I do it. I do it sometimes.
Answer.
Sometimes I'm not in the mood. Sometimes they don't speak English. But I've had some, you know, and I talked about the guy a year ago when I was going through the anxiety and I was disoriented after getting a haircut and I called an Uber and this guy was just awesome. He was from, I think it was Ghana, and
neat.
He loved America so much. He just could. It was one of those things that I've shared that story just because he loved America a lot more than, and he became a citizen. He went through the process legally to become a citizen. It's like you get more love of the country from people like that sometimes than our own Americans. So he really stood out to me. So sometimes I tap into some interesting conversations. And when people relocate here from other countries, I explore, you know, and I ask questions about the reasons and find out, just because I'm curious, what they think about our country. And it's funny. Maybe it's not funny. They all love it.
Yeah. You know? They all love it.
I'm more likely on an Uber to talk with the driver because usually I'll end up in the front seat.
Oh.
Because like Marie and the boys will be in the back seat.
Ah, gotcha.
They'll talk amongst themselves. So I'll make conversation with the driver like they care.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just always asking about sports because I think I can talk sports with anybody.
Right.
Well,
so that's what I do.
Well, we'll see how it goes. They say there's a substantially fewer women who do it, but maybe it'll be on the rise if that's an actual option.
It is interesting. Okay, a couple other topics. Sue does real estate. I thought this was interesting. Guy by the name of Edward Marchion in Burlington, Connecticut. And he's one of these guys that takes chances on homes because he likes to flip them and stuff like that. So he was, this was part of a sight unseen foreclosure auction.
Ooh.
Okay, so because of that, bidders were not able to tour the home beforehand. So this was in Connecticut, and he won the house in June at this auction. Oh. The property was valued at $650,000. Mm-hmm. He got it for $525,000, so, you know, that's pretty good. They mentioned in this story that a lot of times when people do this, you know, they put, you know, maybe even $100,000 into it to fix it up, and then they do their profit from there. But here's the problem with this one. The guy shows up at the house and he finds three dead bodies inside. The skeletal remains of three dead bodies. One of them was the previous co-owner, Sally Ann Cash, who would be 54 years old today. Another one was her son, Brian, who would have turned 23. The third one, they don't know who it is. They're doing DNA testing. But, I mean, how do you not... A couple questions here, okay?
Oh, my
gosh. How do you put this on an auction for anything without maybe someone having toured the residence? Do they just put stickers on the house and say, okay, we're going to sell it?
That is a good question. What state was this in?
Connecticut.
Okay.
And they say that most house hunters wouldn't dare buy a home sight unseen, but at auctions, bidders are rarely given a peek inside beforehand,
right? That's crazy.
So they say that most of the auction's qualified bidders are investors who assess homes as best as they can from the street or the yard before bidding. Kenny Olson, who is a broker in Massachusetts who goes to these he goes to like three or five of these a week. He says, trash everywhere, disrepair.
Oh, yeah.
I try to fix them up and sell them. And that's where you have the quote where if you have a property that's worth $500,000, it's usually about $100,000 in repairs, right? So this guy Olson, because the other guy has not quoted, he says that he's encountered pets that are abandoned, marijuana growing operations, doesn't surprise me, squatters. He says about, this is my favorite maybe, PG-13, ladies and gentlemen, just in case the kids are in the car. Mm-hmm. About 25 years ago, he walked into a home and found a, quote, sex apparatus, unquote, hanging over the bed. He goes, kinky stuff. It was creepy. They also say in this article, this is in the Wall Street Journal, that two of the homes that this guy purchased over the last 37 years contain the bodies of former owners. So apparently this is not unheard of.
Two?
So in Addison, Texas last year, a buyer found the former owner's body inside a single family home he had just purchased. The Dallas County Medical Examiner said that the woman, who was 69, had died of official natural causes and that she died 9 months before her body's discovery. So again, I don't know if it's just that the mortgage company says, okay, we're foreclosing, they put the signs on the front, you know, door and nobody checks inside and does a wellness check.
Jeez, people.
I don't know.
There would be, I mean, not to be gross, but there would be an odor.
I would say if three bodies are in there, there'd be a pretty big owner. But these are popular with these flippers because, you know, most of the times they get good deals and there's not dead bodies, right?
Boy, some of these foreclosure houses, well, you know, the stuff is ripped up. There's trash everywhere, like they said, but appliances are missing, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah,
but
I guess imagine.
That's no big deal for them.
Okay, so there's a reporter in the Washington Post named Lindsay Bever, and I just envisioned that an editor said to Lindsay, come up with some stupid quiz that like a radio host in Missouri will do on the air with his listeners and with his coworkers, because this pretty much was like clickbait for me, but I opened it this morning, and I didn't take the quiz, because if you take the quiz, you know, then you can't take it again until another window. So it says, this is big stuff here. Are you making these sunscreen mistakes? Take our quiz. Test your knowledge to see whether you're making these common sunscreen mistakes. Sue, and I was unaware that there were sunscreen mistakes, but they mentioned skin cancer is the most common cancer in the U.S. It's rather stunning. It affects 1 in 5 Americans. So wearing the right kind of sunscreen is important. So they start with this. Which type of sunscreen provides protection against UVA and UVB rays? A, broad spectrum chemical sunscreen. B, mineral sunscreen. C, sunscreen with bemotrezinol. D, all of the above.
Oh, I was going to say A, Fred.
I'm going to go with D, all of the above.
I'm going to go with D, all of the above, right, too. So if we get unanimity here, 2 out of 3, okay, that sounds like D, all of the above. Correct!
Woo!
Broad-spectrum chemical sunscreens,
nice,
and
job,
mineral
boys.
Sunscreens help prevent sun damage by protecting against ultraviolet A and B rays. So there, very
Do
good.
Do you even know what those second two were?
No, of course not. It doesn't matter. We got right. We got one for one. You're 0 for 1.
That's true.
The only thing that matters here.
All right.
Second question. Which SPF should you look for when choosing a sunscreen? A, SPF 15 or higher. B, SPF 30 or higher. C, SPF 75 or higher. D, as long as the sunscreen is waterproof, the SPF number really doesn't matter.
I'm confident on this one.
Okay.
Are you?
30 or higher.
Yeah, I think he's
confident.
Right.
All right, I like it then.
I like a 15 personally, because I like to get a little color.
Just a little.
But are we going to go with 30 or higher?
Yeah,
because
Fred knows stuff.
That is correct.
Way to go,
Yay.
Fred.
All right.
Like 75, like some people put
75.
On.
75.
It's overkill.
What's the, they were just throwing us with that D question there. Waterproof stuff. All right, number 3. So you're back on the board. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
How much it. Sunscreen should you apply to your body? A pea-size amount. B, a dime-size amount. C, roughly the equivalent of the amount that would fill a shot glass. D, roughly the equivalent of the amount that would fill a coffee mug. I'm probably going to go C, but that's
shot glass.
For your
whole?
I'm with you, Mark.
Well, wait, that's for the whole
glass.
Body.
Whole body. Well, yeah, pea's not going to be enough.
No.
Shot glass.
So shot glass.
Okay. But, you know,
that seems like a lot.
Okay, but
see,
the other thing is, like, I use the spray.
Yes.
Okay, let's see what they say here. C is correct.
Woo! Way to go,
Fred. You're 3 for 3 here. Experts recommend applying about 1 ounce of a broad-spectrum water-resistant sunscreen with SPF 30 or higher, or roughly the equivalent of the amount that you would fill shot glass. So you can do, like, a little Jägermeister and put your sunscreen on.
Wow.
Sounds like a fun thing to do for those people who drink. I do not. Number 4, how often should you reapply sunscreen when outdoors, Fred? I feel like Fred is the target.
Yeah, Fred, you're the man.
I think you stumped me.
Once is enough. No need to reapply.
No, wrong.
B, every 30 minutes. C, every 2 hours. Or more often if you're sweating or swimming. D, only after swimming. I'd say every 2 hours, but
yeah.
I don't. Every 30 minutes seems like a lot.
Hmm.
What do you think?
If I'm in the water, that's a whole different deal.
It is. It is.
But that's where they put the water on after the third choice, right?
Yeah, every you're right. Hours. They kind of hedged on that. So you want to go with every 2 hours or more often if you're sweating or swimming?
Fred, what do you want?
Yeah,
that's what
let's
I
do
want.
That.
I'd probably, honestly, I'd probably do it every hour, but that's not an option. C, every, correct!
Way to go,
Fred.
Right.
You are
just
kicking
it.
Generally, reapply your sunscreen about every 2 hours, but you may need to reapply more often if you're sweating, swimming, or engaging in an activity that will rub it off, such as drying off with a towel, Fred. 5, question number 5. Which of the following are risk factors for melanoma, the most serious type of skin cancer? A, if you've had 5 or more blistering sunburns, particularly in childhood or adolescence. B, if you've tanned indoors using tanning beds. C, if you have a personal family history of skin cancer. D, all of the above. That's a D. I would say D.
D?
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what, that last time, I haven't done this a lot with tanning beds, but I did it one time. You might remember this, Fred, before I went to Mexico, probably in 2019, and I had the worst itching. It was miserable.
Oh.
It was miserable. So let's see. Let's go D here. Correct.
Way to go, Fred. You
Having
are awesome.
5 or more blistering sunburns between the ages of 15 and 20. See, I have dark skin, and I have, you know, enough hair that earned me the nickname from one of my college roommates that he called me the missing link. So that's dude, that is SPF like 150.
That's a good point.
As I've gotten older, it's shedded. This is so gross, but I'm just telling you. But you would see my son Evan, the one, you know, who has my grandchild, he looks like he could be at the Houston Zoo.
Wow.
There's so much hair, really. It's unbelievable. It's quite a sight to see. I know.
I'm sure he loves you telling that.
Yes. But,
Six of 10 questions. Which of the following are warning signs of melanoma? Mole that has an irregular or uneven border. A mole in various shades of tan, brown, or black, not a solid color. A mole that is bigger than the size of a pencil eraser. All the above. I think that's all the above also, right? Yeah, okay, we'll go with... Correct!
Fred, you're on fire.
7. In addition to reducing skin cancer risk, sunscreen also helps protect against which issue? I can't... Hyperpigmentation, vitamin deficiencies, allergies, acne scars. Huh? Okay, you're going to have to take a guess on this one.
Boy, that's... I don't know.
I'll say hyperpigmentation, only because I have no idea what that means. Correct! Look at that!
Good.
All right. We'll have to look that word up later. Which of the following statements are true when it comes to children in sunscreen? A, babies younger than 6 months should only be covered in very high SPF. B, babies and children older than 6 months can use sunscreen to help protect against sun damage. C, children do not need as much sun protection as adults. D, children should never use sunscreen. I think it's B, babies and older than 6 months can use sunscreen to help protect against sun damage. We'll go with that. Correct. See, that was easy.
Look at it. You both
Question
are
number
killing
nine.
It.
Do you need sunscreen while indoors? No, windows in your home block UV rays. B, you need sunscreen indoors only on sunny days. C, you need sunscreen indoors only during the summer. D, you need sunscreen indoors every day because you can get UV exposure during the windows, through the windows. What do you think?
Every day in your house?
No. I'm going to say windows in your... Oh, it's D, because you can get UV exposure through windows. That's D. 10 of 10. I'm going to hurry here.
Wow.
What is the best way for you to protect your skin from sun damage? A, use only sunscreen. B, rely only on shade. C, use sunscreen plus a multi-pronged approach such as protective clothing, hats, sunglasses, and shade. D, none of the above. Let's go with C. What do you think?
Yep.
Well, we got 9 out of 10. Pretty good.
Really?
No, that was right.
Oh, okay.
C was correct. That's because it was the dumbest, easiest quiz ever, right? You know, one of the big media stories today, maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow with Curtis Salk from Newsbusters, is they are letting a bunch of people go at ESPN and Disney. And some of this kind of leaked out yesterday. Ryan Clark, one of the big NFL voices at ESPN, somewhat controversial. He was let go. Jay Billis, who was a longtime college basketball guy. I mean, he's one of the biggest names in all of college basketball, let go today. You know, there's some other things out there that, that's not a parody account. Ethan's telling me, are you telling me that Jay Billis was not let go? Okay, that's why. Jay Billis was not let go. That was a parody account. See, that's the problem with this. So that looked like it was someone that was reporting that. I'm glad that Ethan, you know, I didn't retweet that, thank God. But that surprised me anyway because I've not heard his name. But there are some names that are getting fired for real. I mean, there's coverage of this in the New York Times and elsewhere. Carl Ravitch, Fred, you probably know his name, baseball guy. He's been let go. Tom Pelissero is another one. Here's the other thing that's going on out there is the big cuts, quite candidly, have been at Pixar. So these are people you wouldn't know the names of. People know the names of the ESPN folks. But think about this. Now, I would say it in these terms. Pixar has been, you know, really kind of flailing over there for Disney compared to what they used to do. However, how would you like to be a part of a team that just put a movie out in Toy Story 5 that is like at $1.1 billion and you get fired? I mean, I know this is all business related. There's reasons no industry is safe. But think about that. We just put a billion-dollar movie. And they're laying people off. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself right there. But we may talk about some of that as the names emerge. And I have to be a little bit more careful on parody accounts because I've been caught a couple of times on that. So that certainly makes sense. I'm glad that Ethan flagged that. We have Steve Ellman, who is the incumbent St. Charles County executive running for re-election. He's coming in the studio right after Fox News at the top of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.